Friends in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and then 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus left the house and was sitting by the sea. A large crowd gathered around him, so he stepped into a boat and sat down, while all the people stood on the shore. He told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. Immediately the seed sprang up, because the soil was not deep, but when the sun rose, the seed was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on good ground and produced grain, some 100 times, some 60, and some 30 times more than what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." So listen carefully to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed that was sown on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he is not deeply rooted and does not endure. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed that was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worry of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it produces no fruit. But the seed that was sown on the good ground is the one who continues to hear and understand the word. Indeed, he continues to produce fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times more than was sown. It's the gospel of the Lord. Friends in Christ, family of Cassandra Schilling, Brandon, and especially you, Cassie, Mrs. Schilling. Today we receive the word with joy. We embrace the word with depth. We love God's word beyond anything the world around us would like to promise. And today we also receive Cassie with joy. Today we receive Mrs. Schilling as one of us, not only a member of the congregation, but as someone who is a called worker in this place for such a time as this. It's God's design. And to God alone be the glory. And when it comes down to it, when we really need answers, to God alone be the questions. I think that's important to remember. I see surveys from time to time, a growing number of surveys where we ask the random Joe, how would you like the seed of God, what God has to give us, packaged? How would you like to hear that? You ask the unchurched, you ask the guest, you ask someone who maybe has drifted away. And those are valuable questions, valuable people to ask the questions of. Sometimes I wonder if it'd be better to ask the churched, ask the wise, ask the spiritual, even if it's the hypocrite. And those answers would be interesting too and useful. But nothing beats going to Jesus and seeing how he thinks and feels about the Word of God. That's what we get to do today. We get to ask our Savior, Jesus Christ, how does he feel about what we have to give to the world as the church, as his people, as his called and beloved for whom he died, whom he loved so much that he would live for us and surrender his life to the cross and lay it down for you and for me. That's the person I want to hear about the word from. And it's funny because it's not like Jesus hasn't thought about this. Jesus knows the results of the word. He has an idea in his mind of what the word does. And if anyone's idea of what the word does is important, I think it's Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to go to God and hear what he says about the word, because the Lord knows what the word sows. And we see that in two main ways today. We see that the seed works. We also see the sower works too. So let's look at it today. Let's consider what Jesus has to say. It's called a parable, and he goes on to preach a number of parables. We'll see a couple of these parables in 2 weeks and 3 weeks, respectively. Well, what's a parable? It might help to add the prefix come parable. It compares things of this earth, things that we're used to things of heaven. And so oftentimes we say it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's easy to kind of get into it and over-compare. Not every little thing compares, otherwise we start to allegorize. We start to make things up that really aren't there and don't fit Jesus' meaning. But in this one, there's actually a lot of things that compare. For one, the world is a field. And that's pretty exciting. I like that thought. The world is a field. Think about that, Mrs. Schilling. The world is a field. It's waiting to be shaped, to be molded, to be formed. Minds and hearts, little minds and hearts. And God gives us something to go out into the world with. That's important. That's exciting because it gives us a hand in that effort. It helps us be a part of God's mission, bringing God's kingdom to people who already are in it, as well as people who need to hear it so that they can be a part of it as well. But the thing is about a field, the field is dirty. After all, it's made out of dirt. That's where the seed is thrown. That's where the seed is sown. And as it turns out, people are dirty. It's not a comforting thought. It's maybe not the most exciting thing, but we have to say things like this. We have to know that life is dirty because people are dirty, because we have to know about our sin. That has to be a part of what we package and give to the world as part of Christ's church. Got a number of examples here to think about when it comes to our dirt. That's a crude thought. So is our death and our sin. But there are dirty thoughts that we wouldn't want to share with a spouse. There are things we wouldn't want to share with even our best friend. That's what we confessed earlier. Sins of thought, word, and deed. Things we wouldn't bear to reveal to the world. But God knows. God knows the dirt. Also, the dirty actions that are soiled with our selfishness. Also, the dirty words that we can't take back. Again, we can only take them to the cross. Even the beautiful little angelic faces that will be taught in our preschool this year and the years to come, our hearts and souls and faces smudged with the dirt of sin. They need to hear about it too. As it turns out, not even preschoolers listen to everything that they're told. They don't really always hear everything they're taught. But they need to be told anyway. And God has something to give to the dirty world. He has seed to sow. What is the seed? Interestingly, in Matthew, we're not told explicitly exactly what that is. But if you look at Mark or if you look at Luke, for instance, Luke 8:11, when Luke relays the same parable, he says, the seed is the word of God. The seed is what's scattered to the field. It's what feeds the world. It's what cleans up the dirty soul. The seed tells us about our Savior God. The seed explains to us who he is. True man also. A God of incredible love and intense power. Incredible knowledge. He knows more than we could ever possibly fathom. An eternal God. A God who wouldn't have to do this. But he gave himself for us and died to clean up the world. And the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, purifies us from all sins. That's part of the seed. In fact, that's really the nub, the main thing in the kernel, just to know God loves us. God forgives us. God wants us in heaven. The seed speaks to our very hearts. And in fact, it's so good that we don't have to dress it up. We don't have to put it into such and such terms all the time. We don't have to give it makeup. We don't have to fix it. It's not something that's broken. And the world doesn't need to hear something else. This seed is the word, and it works. And it works so well that it bears results. Now, some would suggest that in three ways, the seed doesn't work. After all, you've got seed that falls on the path, and the bird, or we find out later, it's the devil, swoops down and snatches it up. Well, does that mean the seed didn't work? I think it means that the devil's so interested in this seed not working that he wants to quickly get in there and pull it out, because that seed is so effective. And just because the word falls on a hard heart doesn't mean that the word isn't working. The second seed that falls onto rocky soil springs up fast and happy, but then doesn't have enough root. There's rocks in the way. And so it withers and it dies. Again, not the seed's fault. It was doing just what it was supposed to do. But things got shallow. The seed that falls onto the ground between weeds and thorns, that gets choked and sucked up. It's the wealth and the worries of this world. Well, again, it's not the seed that didn't work, is it? Every time the Word of God is working, and as it turns out, when a heart is hard and unreceptive, when a heart does not take hold, when the root doesn't grow deep, when it gets choked by the weeds of this world, that too is the Word working. Because the more people hear it, oftentimes the more sinners don't want to hear it. That too is the Word working. Just as God said in our Old Testament lesson through Isaiah, in none of this has the Word of God failed, but it always returns to Him for the purpose for which He sent. Just like the weather on the field. The sower works too. You may be surprised to hear who the sower is. As it turns out, Jesus doesn't tell us. You might think, is this some great big angel who's working as the sower, sending out the seed? Is it Matthew, the evangelist? Is it maybe some great Christian of days past, like John, or the Apostle Paul, or Saint Augustine, or Martin Luther? Is it the president of my synod? Who's the sower? As it turns out, it's a real art form. The sowing in Jesus' day looked like this. A person would have an apron folded up. The seed would be in here and scatter the seed, and it would be an even scatter. I don't think we get that kind of art form from a human being that you get from modern machines, although machines may do it better. It's not important. The question is, who is this sower? Matthew doesn't tell us, Luke doesn't tell us, Mark doesn't tell us in their recounting of the events, so we kind of have to work backwards. To whom has God entrusted the ministry of the Word? I'm looking at you. God has entrusted the ministry of the Word to His church, to those He has called out of darkness into His wonderful light. You have the ministry of the Word, and everyone here has a private ministry and the responsibility to carry it out. Who has ears to hear the seed that you have to sow? As it turns out, you're a sower in your own way, but also corporately as a group of Christians in a visible church, you also have a responsibility in public ministry. And God gives the church the call to bring a worker to their doors, to their place, to do the very organized sowing of the seed. Now, it's true, the pastor, you could call the pastor the sower of a church. After all, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, that Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered it. I might throw in there Peter fertilized around it. But God makes it grow. There's nothing magical or super special about the Christian who is the pastor of a church. He simply has the most comprehensive task to do in public ministry in that visible church. But here at Bethlehem, not too far behind, at our little town of Bethlehem Preschool, is the preschool director and teacher. I can't think of any other arm of ministry where the Word of God is sown to so many people. 5 days a week, perhaps a dozen children, maybe fewer each day. But over and over again, those children get God's Word. They get a lesson. This is an important ministry. This is a sowing that works. And the Word is sent out. And it's beautiful and glorious every day of the week that we're open. What a beautiful thing. That means that Mrs. Schilling is a sower. She doesn't have a field. She has a classroom. Her field is her classroom. And that classroom is also extended to parents. Parents who bring their children and who hear their children repeat the Word of God. You've heard the stories. You've heard the times when children have gone home, relayed to us by former directors, by teachers, any of the aides. Just ask them. You know exactly what the Word does. It's spread. And so, as our sower, Mrs. Schilling, you are called to sow a great deal of seed. You're called to carry out this task diligently, responsibly, and faithfully. But you have an advantage. You know the seed that you're sowing so well because it's the same seed that worked on your heart. It's the same seed that produces 100 times, 60 times, 30 times what was sown into your heart when you first believed, when you were confirmed, when you loved the scriptures that were fed to you, when you grew in that through your college training. You learned so many things. You learned about teacher theory and education and discipline, different ways, and how to handle children. You also learned how to divide law and gospel. You also learned how to call a child to account, how to forgive a child, and how to show them forgiveness. Can it be that you'll sow even more than 100 times among us? That's what I look forward to. And if I may reassure you of something, the Lord who calls people to service equips them for that same service. The same seed that we sow is the seed that was sowed into our hearts. And furthermore, the Lord promises results. Results for the faithful sowing of the Word. Little hearts that take joy when they hear the Word. Little hearts that grow. Little hearts that forgive. Little hearts with deepening roots. Little hearts that look beyond this world into something more special. Little hearts that may go to heaven because of what we do here. Not because of us, but because of the God who makes it grow. These are the fruits of the sower, who will just cast God's word, just put it out there, just say it in its truth and purity, just show it to the world. These are the results. Learn for your own peace of mind what the word will bring personally. Because it's not just out there that God causes growth. It's in here. Sometimes when you teach something, you learn it far better than you ever did before. I've seen that over and over again. And so not only is it something that brings joy and excitement and fun, but it also brings dedication to the heart of the teacher. It brings devotion. It brings more trust in God. The results will grow in you, Mrs. Schilling, as your ministry starts and continues here. Members of Bethlehem, love our new sower. Honor her. Cooperate with her. Support her. Have her back. Find times to pray. Go to God and intercede on her behalf. Show her that you love her. Explain to her who you are. Tell her what you love about our preschool. Figure out a way that you could be a little more engaged and helping little roots grow even deeper, to coax these families and show love for these families and share the message with these families. But in our work, let's remember who makes the seed grow. It's not the field. It's not the dirt. Arguably, it's not even the sower. It wasn't Paul who planted the seed. It wasn't Apollos who watered the seed. It wasn't Peter who fertilized the seed. It's God. God who makes it grow. So that at the end of the day, when we're not sure how we said it, if that was right, when we're not sure how faithful we've been, when we realize life as a public minister of God is a crushing thing, and it can bring you to your knees in a moment, know that God's got your back. Know that God is behind this word, and He causes results when we never imagined it. It's His law, not our law. It's His forgiveness, not our forgiveness. It's His love, not our love. It's His classroom, not our classroom. It's His ministry, not our ministry. It's His church, not our church. It all belongs to Him, and by His grace, He invites us to be the arms and the feet and the mouths that share it with other people. Friends, sow it. Scatter it. Say it. Welcome to the field. Welcome to you especially, Mrs. Schilling. In Jesus' name, amen.